Now, last week we looked at the Apostle Peter getting a little bit of a wake-up call or a shake-up of sorts in his ministry, and God called into to question some of his strong beliefs that weren't inherently wrong, but because they were so strongly held by Peter, they became barriers to his ministry. Now, they were barriers in whom he would not minister to. Basically, barriers in who he would keep company with. And we saw a challenge in what areas might we hold that would be a barrier for us individually and for us as a church, barriers to our ministry. And today I'll be looking at what God can do when people allow Him to shake their boxes. Allowing God to work through us even when doing so puts us in places that we would not go ourselves. But before I get to reading, I have a question. How do we know when something's important in the Bible? Does anyone have an answer to that? How do we know when something is important in Scripture? Now, I suppose there's a number of answers to this. Troy? Okay, repetition. Is it important if it's in bold? Or italics? Or highlighted or red, color red? The color red means that Jesus spoke it. But the funny thing is that if you were to look at the original manuscripts, you wouldn't find anything bolded. You wouldn't find red letters. You wouldn't find anything highlighted or in italics. So the real, for the people in that time period, everything was pretty much read to them. So they learned by listening. They would go and hear someone read Scripture. So really, the best way to get a point across that it's important is through repetition. Things are said more than once. They're repeated. Great job. Maybe I should throw you a piece of candy. The story of Cornelius is an interesting story, and I told you last week that it is an important story. But we also see that there are a lot of details that are repeated many times. Just knowing that there's a lot of repetition in this story of Cornelius, we kind of understand that it's important as well. And we draw the conclusion that God saw that it was very important for the Gentiles to not only receive Jesus Christ, to receive His saving grace and His Holy Spirit, but it was also very important for the Jewish people to understand and draw that same conclusion themselves, that Jesus Christ was for the Gentiles just the same as for the Jews. Before I get to our scripture for today, remember last week that Peter had a vision that he was to get up, kill, and eat. But the animals, or some of the animals that were shown to him, were unclean. And God told Peter, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This statement was an interpretation that God gave Peter of his vision. God was telling Peter, this is what you need to do. Or that do not call anything impure that God has called clean. And it's interesting that God's timing is perfect, because at the end of that vision, three men come to Peter. Let's read. I'll be looking at Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 17. Acts 10:17. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. Already from last week to this week, we're seeing some repetition, especially what kind of person this Cornelius was, a righteous and God-fearing man. But we're also told here in this scripture, we're told twice in the first couple of verses that Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision or thinking about the vision. Now we know that God told him not to call anything impure that God has made clean. So God has already told him the main point of that vision. But Peter is actually deeply and intensely contemplating and contemplating what the implications of this vision is. What does this really mean in practical life? What is this? How is this going to change what I'm doing? He was looking to understand more of this vision and this message from the Lord. And Peter may have been a devout Jew who held to the traditions of the Jewish law and worship, but he was also a man that very much wanted to know the will of God. Are these two in conflict? Peter wants to choose God's will first over the traditions. And just as Peter was told to get up, kill, and eat an unclean animal in his vision, now he is told to get up, go downstairs, and go with the Gentiles at the door. I think Peter understood the vision much better when God told him to go with these people. You see, that call to not call anything impure that God has made clean on a small scale was dealing with food, but on the large scale, it's dealing with people. And this is something that Peter will probably struggle with for a while, but he gets it here. Peter quickly invited the men into the house as guests, showing them hospitality. And this shows us that Peter is making those positive steps towards that change. After being rattled a little bit by God, he's realizing, okay, something is important here that God wants me to learn or to do, and that is going with these Gentiles. And he shows them hospitality. As I was reading this scripture and looking at Peter showing this hospitality, I was reminded of a memory of mine. And there was a time when Juanita asked someone to come and join us for an evening meal, and I really didn't know the person that she invited over. And when he came, his physical appearance was of someone I probably would not have invited in myself. Now, a lot of you kind of chuckle at that, but this was a challenge. It also would be a challenge for you too. This person was definitely not a church-going person. But God did a couple of things through that experience of showing hospitality to this person. One, he used my wife to challenge me, which is good. He uses my wife a lot to challenge me, which isn't always easy. And I don't know how she can be right all of the time, but she really is. I'll save comments for later. But God does use her. And that's a wonderful thing about marriage, is that we when we're in tune with God, we can help each other in our weaknesses. The second area that God did through this experience was that we were able to show hospitality to someone that was not used to seeing such hospitality. He was different. And I would guess that he would probably be a type of person that is often avoided just by how he presents himself. Now, did we make a difference in his life? There was a difference that happened in my life. God challenged me. But I hope the difference happened for him as well. I have no idea what God was doing for that time and in that moment, but I hope that God used us for something. It was uncomfortable and awkward at times, but I also know that in my weakness, God is made strong. So when I'm uncomfortable and out of my comfort zone, then I rely more on God's help. And that's exactly where I needed to be. That's where Peter needed to be, out of his comfort zone, so that God could do amazing things. But let's get back to Scripture. Peter went to the Gentiles and also brought some of his fellow servants of Christ. He went to Cornelius. And maybe he brought his fellow servants of Christ for support, maybe to aid in a ministry. Whatever the reason for them to go, we're not really sure. But it will play a tremendous role in the future because they will be witnesses of Christ coming to the Gentile people and the Holy Spirit descending on them. There's more witnesses. So let's read on Acts 10:24. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. Cornelius was excited that Peter was coming to his house. I'm trying to think, you know, what would that be like if Billy Graham came to my house, or if, who's another famous person, James Dobson came to my house, or Dr. David Jeremiah, who's on the radio a lot. What if he came to my house? That would be so exciting. I don't know what I would talk about, but it would be exciting. Great men of God. And Cornelius, he was excited. I'm sure he's heard a lot about this Apostle Peter, heard about the great things that God had been doing through him, and he is now in his house. So in preparation, before Peter gets there, Cornelius gets all his family together. It's like, I got to share this experience with everyone else. Let's bring the family in. There's something great is going to happen. There's been visions that God has prepared for the coming Peter. Something big is going to happen. I want friends. I want family. I want everyone to come. So the excitement is building, knowing that God has something great planned and not really knowing what it is. And when Peter meets Cornelius, what does he do? We're told that Cornelius fell to Peter's feet in reverence. Now sometimes we just read over that thinking, okay, that's just what he did. But Cornelius is a centurion. He is a commander. He doesn't drop to people's feet. People drop to his feet. He's an important man. And so when we see this, we kind of get an idea that Cornelius was a humble man too. He was humble enough to drop before Peter out of reverence. Fortunately, Peter will inform him and others in the house, "Don't bow down to me. I'm just a man." Peter tells him, "Stand up. I am only a man myself." Peter's not God, and he's not the Son of God. Peter is just a man like Cornelius, and Peter is a man that has flaws. Peter has made and will make mistakes. And there are times when God must challenge him to move out of his comfort zone. And Peter tells those in the house how he himself has been challenged just recently. We see that starting in verse 28. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against the law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you have sent for me?" And there really wasn't any official law prohibiting Jews and Gentiles from coming together. Looking back in the law of Moses, it's not there. You're not going to see a specific law. But what Peter is pointing out is that there is a custom or a traditional view that was held to that made for the Gentiles to be unclean. And those traditional views of purity made it virtually impossible for the Jews to associate with Gentiles without becoming ritually unclean themselves. Again, God is hitting some of those traditions because of the barrier they created. And then we read what Peter says, "God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." This reflects that Peter understood that God has been challenging him to move past his barriers, to move past his prejudices. Now, I can say that most of us probably have a prejudice. Whether we're aware of it or not, we do have prejudices. But God is challenging him to move past his prejudices that have hindered his effectiveness to be used by God in his ministry. And the interesting part of this section helps us to realize Peter responded to the challenge with change. God challenged him, and Peter responds with change. We see that there was a change that happened in his heart. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, even if it seems to be a logical pattern. We are not chasing after the world, but we're chasing after a transformed and renewed mind. I don't want what the world says I should have. I want what God has for me. And that's a renewed and transformed mind. We're looking for a changed heart. God desires to change us from the inside out, to have a changed heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It is in Christ that we are made new, and we'll be able to better understand and see God's perfect will when we allow him to transform us and to change us." Peter could clearly see that God loved the Gentiles, those people that he had often looked at as being impure or unclean in some way. He's realizing that God loved them just as much as the Jews. And he could finally see that he held a prejudice against them. And it was not what God wanted. And I think the Apostle Peter, he was an apostle. He saw great miracles happen. God used him to bring a person back to life. Just amazing things that God had been using him for. And yet we are seeing right here that Peter wasn't perfect. And that Peter was still being challenged, even though he was a pretty good man of God. Like a potter with clay, Peter, and even we all need to be moldable, as our journey with Christ will continue to have transformational moments. Why do we need to keep being challenged, even though we've been Christians for 20, 30, 40, 50, in Mick's case, I don't know, 80 years, 75 years? If we've been a Christian that long, are we still in need of transformation? The answer is absolutely yes. God will challenge us all the way to the end. Why? Because we are imperfect human beings. Peter says to Cornelius, "I am just a man." For me, I've had many, many transformational moments where God has taught me lessons. I'm still learning them every day. What are your transformational moments? What has God challenged you on in the past? And how are you doing with those challenges today? Do you still struggle with them? Do you still struggle where God may have challenged you years ago on? Sometimes giving up our traditions or giving up things that we've held so tight for so long can be a great hindrance if we don't allow God to mold us and transform us. I'd like to say that Peter forever learned his lesson here about his relationship with the Gentiles. But you want to know something? Although Peter gets it here and now, he struggles with it a little bit later. He's even reminded by the Apostle Paul later about his interactions with Jews and Gentiles when he gets back to Jerusalem, where he tends to congregate with the Jews and avoids the Gentiles again later. We're humans. We still have struggles. But I'd like to think that with each and every challenge, that we get one step closer to where God wants us to be at that moment. Peter's question at the end of our last section of Scripture, Peter asks Cornelius, "Why have you sent for me?" Let's read on in our Scripture and see. Cornelius answered, "4 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon." Here, we're seeing a repetition of the story all over again. "Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.'" What did God tell Peter to tell Cornelius? There was nothing in the vision that would indicate that there was a specific message. What was he to tell them? And my immediate response would be to that question is the same thing he's been telling every single person that he's come into contact with and the Jewish side of things. And that's the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's hear what he has to tell them. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. Here again we see the change that came from God and into Peter's heart. God does not show favoritism, so Peter should not either. We're told that those who fear and have reverence for God, those who accept Jesus Christ and do what is right, they are made clean in God's sight. Let's read on. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised, those fellow Jews that were with Peter, those who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Peter shared the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus performed many miracles because God was with him. He was killed, but God raised him from the dead. And he commanded the people to preach and to testify to everyone who believed in him. And everyone who believed in him receives forgiveness of sins. That command to preach and teach everyone, initially by the Jews, they assumed that everyone just meant all the Jews. But here we see that everyone truly means everyone. Whether they're Jew or Gentile. While Peter was preaching this, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message, and they began speaking in tongues and praising God. The Holy Spirit didn't wait for Peter to finish. You see, the Holy Spirit has the right time. And Peter may not have been done with his words, but the Holy Spirit knew the hearts of those that were hearing. They believed and they were ready to receive. And God gave it to them when they were ready. Let's read on the next portion here. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. It's interesting how this story unfolds, how God works through Peter. That because of Peter's response to the challenge that God gave him, we see that a tremendous thing happened. that not only did the Gentiles and non-Jews receive the message of Jesus Christ, but they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. And all those that were with Peter could see that there was without a doubt these people that they had once seen as unclean, impure people they avoided, truly received everything that God had for the Jews. They received the Holy Spirit. They were to receive salvation as well. I also like the fact the way it's worded here. The Gentiles, or Peter says, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They were on fire. If there was ever another revival, there's multiple revivals in here, but this is one of those that they're maybe not even a revival, but there was life that was brought into these people. They were on fire for Jesus Christ. They were filled with His Spirit, and they were going to get baptized. There was not going to be anyone that would stand in their way because they were going after Jesus Christ. They didn't know everything. I know a lot of people want to wait till they know as much as they can about Scripture and about church or about Jesus Christ before they get baptized or go another step further. But here we see they receive the message of Jesus Christ that He died for them. And if they believe in Him, they will not only receive forgiveness of sins, but they also receive the Holy Spirit, and they were going to get baptized. They received it. There was a challenge. There was a challenge on Peter. And we see Christ triumph. Peter was changed, and because of that, people heard the gospel. And a group of people that was avoided received God's gift and blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that, because you and I are recipients of this same gift. I don't believe that there's anyone here of Jewish descent. So this makes the story even more pertinent to us. We receive the same gift as God's chosen people. We become children of God. Let us never forget this, and pray that we too can be challenged in a similar way as Peter, so that others might receive the same gift.